Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello.
Hello there, Clarky. How you doing, man?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right, thanks very much. You've just been feeding the ducks, having a lovely time.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
What do you feed them?
Duck food. We've got bought special duck food because
this is someone who knows, I guess. Yeah. I'd be at a loss personally. And I know you're not supposed to do bread, but I don't know what else you're supposed to do.
Yeah, like seeds and stuff like that. But we've bought sort of specific duck food because we get ducks in our back garden. You see, we've got some.
Oh, what a delight!
There's a love triangle, if you can call it a love triangle. There's two ducks, Fred and Lolo, who are named by our neighbours because they saw the ducks first. They are sort of a couple. They're a male duck and a female duck, and they're a couple, and they hang out. But this year, a new dude, Rodney, has joined, and he is very into Lolo,
right.
And obviously Fred's not having it. So basically what happens is we see Fred and Lolo, we feed them a little bit, then Rodney shows up and they just chases the pair of them around the garden. It's very Benny Hill. It's very sort of 1970s. And it's not great. It's not great for anyone concerned, really, but I still feed them, you know. They're still God's creatures.
Of course.
Yeah, not bread, because you get the rats come in.
Yes.
And I talked about my problem with rodents in the house already in the Cellier AB episode of Beef Brothers. We don't need to go back through that,
no.
But the last thing we need is rats.
No, yeah.
They're big old bastards. I thought I saw a rat the other day, but it was a squirrel, but had a bear tail.
The tail of a bear?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
The tail of cocaine bear.
It's a true tale, in fact.
The true tale of cocaine bear. No, it had all of the fluffiness was just for something that happened
right.
to it. It was stripped off. And I would say in a squirrel, 95% of its cuteness comes from
the
fluffy tail.
100%.
Didn't realize it. Because I love squirrels. They're my favorite animal. I've talked about that before. But with a bear tail, they're a little harder to love. But I still love them anyway. Feed them the squirrel food I bought off the internet and let them get on with it. Anyway, this is an episode of House Meeting. Tom is involved in this episode of House Meeting, even though he's not on the introduction. He's still away on assignment, but we recorded a bunch of these, like, sort of back to back over about 3 or 4 days. So they kind of get, I feel like, I'm looking through the titles of them, and the titles are no help to me as to what they mean
no.
or what they are.
No, we had a little pre-record discussion as to try and figure out what the title meant and what. Yeah, no clue. Absolutely no clue whatsoever. What are we supposed
Zero
to
clue.
Do?
Clue.
What are we supposed
Sorry,
to do?
Sorry, I've got a real. got something.
You've got a squirrel in your throat.
I think
mate.
It's the duck food. I had a little nibble myself, and it's gone down the wrong pipe.
Mate, you've got to go online, buy yourself some human food. You've got
some Huel. That's what I need. Some Huel. Anyway, I've got no idea what happens in this episode. So it's going to be a real voyage of discovery for you and for us. Something to do with chicken. Something to do with cheese. Something to do with hair. That's the notes
we'll
I've got.
Out.
Let's find out. If you enjoy what we do, and you would like to support us and keep this podcast on the main feed free, then go to our Patreon, patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. Join our Patreon and you can get a free bonus episode every single week of our Flatshare Pop Round. You get bonus beefs. So the Cellier AB beef has just gone up on our Patreon. You can listen to that now. Bonus beefs from all our guests. You get everything immediately. The second you join, you get every bonus episode straight away. So if you wanted to, I've said this before, You could join, download everything and leave. But we don't want you to do that.
No, no. Also, if you find the back catalogue intimidating, you're fine just to come in cold. You'll still enjoy
absolutely.
Yourself.
Absolutely. They're very, you know, I would say everything we do is pretty simple stuff.
You pick it up in no time.
You'll get
it's
what
three
it is.
Guys chatting away.
It's three guys talking absolute cobblers. Speaking of three guys talking about cobblers, let's have a listen to this episode of House Meeting and find out what the bloody hell it's all about. Enjoy it.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
So yesterday I had to take my poor little kid to the urgent care, which seems to be a very, very popular trip. I'm making quite a lot at the moment. The trip to the urgent care with either one of my my little kids.
Has it become a local for you now? Do they?
It is.
Do they
yeah.
give you a knowing look?
I've got a loyalty card. Yeah. when I get there, they're like, oh yeah, you again.
You again.
No, I think
the usual.
Yeah, and it always is as well. It's always the same thing.
Slide your prescription down the counter to you.
Oh man, when you see that happening, drink down the bar.
Yeah.
There's just nothing cooler. Have you ever seen it happen in real life? Has it ever happened in real life?
No, it's certainly one of those instances that you kind of anticipated adult life being full of when
yes,
you're a kid,
absolutely,
and it hasn't really fulfilled on its promise.
Having a usual generally is not a thing. I don't really have a usual anywhere apart from in my house, but that doesn't count. But yeah, the idea that you would walk into a place and be like, beer me. They would slide a beer down the... You'd chug it in one. I don't think it would work.
No, I think in a British pub, bar mats are the scourge of the slide.
Is that why they're there? To stop the slide? Because so many people weren't quick enough and the pints were going off the end of the bar.
Is there a place in the market for like a sort of air hockey type designed tabletop, like for your bar? You have the kind of air coming through it and those tiny holes to assist the slide.
The pint is mounted on a very thin puck.
Yeah.
Basically, the bottom of the pint pot is a very thin puck that just levitates slightly and you can slide it off.
Oh, I love pint pot, by the way.
Do you like pint pot?
Like pint pot?
I think, you know, pint pot. But yeah, so...
That's the other end of it. It's like the sliding down or the kind of pewter pot with your name on it.
Oh, yeah. Possibly with like a flip top on the, you know, like a little... Like an old-fashioned beer stein, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't dig on the idea about drinking out of metal much, though.
No? Do you not like is it the taste? The taste of metal? You feel like whatever you're drinking is going to be imbued with the slightly, you know, well, the incredibly metallic taste of metal. Can't even think it's more metallic. Can't get the slightly metallic taste of metal, I think, pretty much.
Not really. Get more
what else
metallic.
Is more metallic? What's more metallic than metal? Which, by the way, is the name of my new metal album coming out.
Yeah, it's not a bad one, actually.
What's got a more metallic taste than the taste of metal? Track one, side one. But the good thing about the puck is that you can take one sip of it and go, oh, I think the pint's off. Whoosh, straight back down
Send
the counter.
Straight back.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they don't want it. They don't want to encourage returns.
I'd love it, though.
I think if I'm drinking a beer and it doesn't taste quite right, I assume that it's either me or it's just the way the beer's supposed to taste and I still drink it.
Mate, I'm the exact same. I was just about to say the exact same thing. Yeah, there's a certain establishment in town that I go to quite often, and I always I just think they just do bad pints, man.
but I'm not. I'm going to carry on going, and I'm not going to say anything about it.
That's even worse than what Tom's doing, whereas he hasn't got the guts to return it. You have not only got, you've not got the guts to no longer come there. You keep showing up again.
It's become the usual for you.
That's the, yeah.
I say a guy comes in and drinks this bad pint every time.
It's unusual for me.
It is the unusual.
Here he comes. Let's give him the memento. Let's give him the one that we've all flobbed in. Yeah, it was, I've done it with wine. Have I done it with a pint before? Yeah.
Was it corked? Is that the thing with wine when they're corked?
I think it was oxidised, I think was the problem I had with the wine. But basically, you know, if you order a glass of wine from a place that doesn't sell a tremendous amount of wine, the chances are they opened that bottle 3 days ago. You know, it's just not going to be nice. So you often get this thing where they pour it out and you go, well, this has been kept pretty badly.
This is basically malt vinegar now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I remember doing a gig in a student union in Manchester and I don't know why I asked. I said, oh, can I have a red wine, please? And just the look on the guy's face when I ordered it first was like, I don't know if we can do that.
Oh, I don't know, man.
I'm not sure. And then he found it like in the back of the cupboard and it was three quarters. It was a screw cap. a screw cap that was three quarters full already. And I was like, you know what? It's fine.
Basically port.
Just over WKD. Yeah, I mean, I'd be delighted if it had fortified itself, but no. It was more like red wine vinegar. It was grim. But yeah, I just said, that's fine. I'll stand at the end of the counter. You slide it down to me. It's snagged on a beer mat.
I've got three of those bottles next to my oven that I say...
I'm going to cook with those.
Oh, it'll be cooking wine now. But now, because I've got a two-year-old, I don't really cook with wine.
Yeah.
So they've been there about a year and a half now.
And also, if you're going to cook with wine, cook with wine.
Yeah.
You don't really do it with other ingredients, do you? Where you go, oh, I'll tell you what, those potatoes that are all mouldy, they'll be cooking potatoes. He's just like, oh yeah,
it's my cooking mince. Oh, he's great mince.
Which is his metal album. I did that for a while, and then I was like, well, I've got nice bottles of wine in the house. If you're cooking with wine, you know, if you're making a spag bol and you're popping some wine in, then just have the rest of the wine. Open a new bottle, stick 250ml of it into the, you know, stick a large glass into the meal, drink the rest of the bottle. Live a little, enjoy yourself. That thing of keeping the dregs of wine, I've done the same thing. Also, as well, recently I got rid of those bottles. I got rid of a couple of bottles of what I was going to call cooking wine. And it looked like paper inside. Like big old flakes of like papier-mâché type sediment. I just poured in. I was like, I could have poured this into a really nice meal and totally ruined it.
Here's my issue, I think. It's something to do with the vessels, because a bottle of wine feels pretty substantial as an object. It's the real deal, you know.
Mm.
You can't get around it. It's fucking... It's old
school.
You work
for the wine marketing board, don't you, Tom? I forgot about this. Picturing a bottle of wine. It's the real deal.
It's old school. It's real. It's not gone anywhere, and it still impresses, it dazzles, it excites. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
It really does. No, but I totally agree, because you don't see a lot of obviously back in the day when we were kids, glass milk bottles were the thing, right? Everyone was drinking milk out of a glass bottle. Nice cold, ice cold milk. You saw the adverts for it. Tom did the adverts.
The real deal.
It's the real deal, yeah.
That's Accrington Stanley, the real deal.
I'd love to see a Mad Men type show where one guy's, where the guy's got one slogan. He just keeps trying to get it away. Sad Men.
Sad Men. So it's Lucky Strike. Yeah, that's the thing. So it's just Lucky Strike. The real deal. No? Okay. See you in a couple of years.
Well, we came here, you should have known.
He walked into Times Square, like he's at the top of the tree. He walks into Times Square and there's like adverts for all the, you know, like all these different products that all say it's the real deal. Then suddenly the phone starts ringing.
He made his money fast, and he lost it faster.
He's got to get out of there. He's got to get the fuck out of Dodge.
But Mad Men's something I'm saving for a rainy day that I know I'll never get round to. I've kind of made my peace with that now.
That you're never going to watch Mad Men.
On something brilliant. Yeah.
Have you not watched it? I thought you watched it.
No. I've dipped my toe in. I've seen Odds and Sods. It's clearly good.
That's not the same show. That was an ITV sitcom from 1973.
Does that not count?
That's bonkers, man.
Here's the thing, right, I'd say, is I think it's got something to do with set dressing for school plays. Like, a bottle of wine is the kind of shit that would be a set dressing for a school play. It's the real deal. It's proper. It's got currency. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's so true. Especially when you're in the sixth form and obviously you're not doing school nativity plays anymore, but you're doing it would inevitably have a scene where there was a dinner party, largely because you cast a play that was full of people. You had to cast a play that had like a cast of 15 or 20 anyway, so that you got a lot of people involved. It wasn't just for two people. Yeah. That reminded me that I did a scene where...
But a
memory of a school play. It was called Penny for a Song. I remember nothing about it. I think even as I was performing it, I didn't understand. You know, like, I didn't understand what the play was about, who my character was, what any of the jokes meant. But one of the scenes was I had to have a picnic, and obviously in all the rehearsals, we just didn't use real food. And then when it got to the actual play, the actual night, the first night, not even a dress rehearsal, but the first night, there was real food.
It was
so exciting. So there
real
was
bête noir, isn't it? You can't handle
Well, I don't mind. Weirdly, I can eat it, because that's right. My weird,
of course,
I guess it's a phobia, is that I can't see people eating on stage. It's not a fetish. I can't see people eating on stage. I can watch people eat on the television. I can sit across from the table from somebody and eat dinner with someone, but I can't see someone eating on stage. It makes me wretch. It's so odd. I don't know why.
That's very bizarre. I forgot about that.
But if I'd been in the audience, I would have absolutely hated this, because there was real food. And of course, when you see the real food, you don't just sit there with the real food. You think, I'll give this a bit of verisimilitude. I'll tuck right in. I'll really get into it. And it was a roast chicken.
You've got to have rehearsed with poultry. If you're going to be bringing poultry to the picnic, at least in the dress, you've got to deal with it in the dress.
Bring the poultry in.
That's the rule. It's the age-old rule of theatre.
Well,
never eat fish. And bring poultry to the... You've got to bring your poultry,
you've got
to
bring
the
poultry
dress.
To the dress. And also a big old lump of cheese. You know,
what
the classic dinner.
your
big old lump of cheese.
Your co-star.
So, first track on Grey Mints.
Chicken and cheese. That should have been the title. Never mind. What was it called? Going for a Song.
Penny for a Song, yeah.
Penny for a Song.
Chicken and Cheese.
Pound for Chicken and Cheese.
Chicken and cheese, better title.
I'd definitely go and see a play called Chicken and Cheese.
But you shouldn't. You wretch all the way through.
No one says they're eating it. It could be a kid's play.
I guess it's Hunter's Chicken, isn't it?
Yeah.
Apologies everyone. My god. Didn't realise that I'd have such a dramatic effect on momentum.
I didn't understand what you... I'm so sorry. I didn't understand what you meant.
Hit someone with my car yesterday. Probably have gone down better.
What's Hunter's Chicken?
A Hunter's Chicken is a chicken breast wrapped in bacon with cheese on top. Is that right?
Oh, right. I've never even heard of Hunter's Chicken. Well, I don't eat meat anymore. But now I have.
Barbecue sauce. It's a classic
heard of it. It's the title of the episode. It's there with a bullet, mate. Anyway, sorry. Basically, I was going down the route of, does chicken and cheese go together? I was kind of like, do you have chicken and cheese sandwiches? Well, you don't really. Well, sounds quite nice. And then I kind of landed on, you order a Hunter's Chicken.
You could imagine a chicken burger with cheese, couldn't you? If someone said chicken burger with cheese, you wouldn't complain about that, would you?
Exactly. If someone said it at the box office of The National, You're buying tickets.
Chicken and cheese.
Sign me up for a 2 for chicken and cheese, please. Queuing all day for those 10 quid tickets.
It's got to be our ambition now. It's a race to see who can get away a genuine project that's called Chicken and Cheese. Okay.
Well, wait. Do we have to? We have to, the project itself has to be called Chicken and Cheese, because I'm working on a script today, and I'll happily put the phrase Chicken and Cheese in there.
Yeah. Okay. Let's try and get Chicken and Cheese in where we can.
If I can get Chicken and Cheese past the producers, I'll do my best.
Okay. I'll try and get it in. I'll try and get it into my project as well.
All right.
I'll also try and do something.
Clark is going to eat some chicken and cheese.
That's an almost guarantee. I kept very quiet when you were like, "You don't really have chicken and cheese together, do you?" Yes, I do.
Clark is like, "I literally had that half an hour ago for my breakfast."
I have loads of it like piled up next to the cooker to throw in onto other ingredients.
Clarky goes into a KFC and says the usual, and they slide it down the counter, don't they? And they don't, and the grease does the work there, doesn't it? Your little hockey puck.
That's one place you really can.
You can really slide it down the counter. So I was tucking away into this chicken and cheese, nibbling away. Obviously, I hadn't factored in that you've got to say your lines as well, so it was a bit sort of inelegant of me sort of spitting a load of food over the person as I was trying to eat it. And then I came off stage and I felt rotten. I felt really, really bad. And I said, "Oh God, I feel really sick." And they were like, "You're not supposed to eat the food." And I was like, "But it's real food." And they're like, "Yeah, but because it was under stage lights, we sprayed it with hairspray." And I never even heard of this.
What?
But like the backstage team, the art department, had got this lump of cheese, sprayed it with a load of L'Oreal, same with old roast chicken. Thinking, well, obviously,
watching you from the wings, thinking, what's he doing?
Well, this play is going to have a funny third act. The comic turn's going to die.
Nobody else is eating either.
He's eating the Chekhov's chicken. Oh no! Chekhov's chicken and cheese.
He will go off in the third act. It's a guarantee.
He went off for 3 days straight, mate.
They stretched me out. The art department said, before they put me in the ambulance, they said, "Don't worry, spray me entirely with hairspray," and I was fine.
Just like... embalmed chicken.
I will say this, Matthew, you have had a fine head of hair ever since. It's not going anywhere, that hair, is it? Maybe you've stumbled on the ingredient, never mind caffeine shampoo.
Yeah, I've got a fine head of hair, and I do have to comb my teeth every morning, but apart from that, no side effects.
House meeting. How do they make bread with no wheat in?
House meeting.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hated it. Absolutely hated it. Awful. I can still remember it now. And it's really put me off the taste of hairspray ever since. I've never gone back. How do we get onto this? Oh, yeah. I was in the doctor's last night.
Speaking of, back in the old days. What had you eaten?
No. This wasn't me this time.
What had you given your kid to eat? Bit of Dax.
Hang on a sec. Yeah, look, it's mousse, right? Yeah, okay, it's not chocolate mousse.
What's for pudding? Oh, the mousse.
Hunter's mousse.
Is hair mousse still a thing? Because I always thought it was a bit of a swizz.
Well, of course you did. Volume? I'm getting nothing off of this.
Absolutely nothing for me.
You'd stick it on and you'd have like a sort of like a judge's wig of hair on top of you. You'd go out on a rainy day and it would just disappear within seconds.
Just mousse on my hair.
Hair mousse was a swizz.
Yeah.
What else have you got to beef with? Combs?
But it felt to me like the sensation of the mousse putting it on, it was kind of like almost like a childish joy of that,
yeah,
over what it actually does to your hair going in as a mousse.
You don't think it gave you the maximizing volume?
I don't believe that. I think it recreates the sensation of whipped cream, so everyone loves it,
and that's it.
And I think...
You were going to say, it could easily be what? What do you think it should have been?
It could have been a cream. It could have been a...
It's a different consistency, though.
Yeah, it could have been a liquid.
Key, isn't it?
A mousse dissolves into your hair, and that's what was good about...
Into your hair, it's going to become liquid again, isn't it?
No.
It's stay moussey in there.
No, it's not supposed to stay moussey.
It immediately becomes... It goes down else. Again.
It hardens? Well, I suppose it's... Yeah. If he's in styling mousse.
But you get the joy of the delivery of the mousse that goes, and then you, but then it becomes what it would have been.
What I liked about mousse, you could slick your hair sort of back and up, which is why it was my sort of preferred thing in the kind of 80s.
Back and up?
Like, yeah, but like...
You like back combing your hair?
No, back, but high, I mean, as opposed to sticking it back. As opposed
I really to, had you like a door wedge there.
Kid and play.
Yeah.
Watch House Party and never look back. I've seen it. No, but like, as in oh, right, yeah, back and I high. See. Back and high as opposed to back and flat to the head, Gordon Gekko style. You know, back and high. But it would look like your hair would look when it was dry. It wouldn't look; it didn't have the wet look of gel, but it would still maintain the shape. I thought that was the good thing about a hair mousse. I loved it because I didn't like the consistency. I didn't like the tackiness of gel. You know, like didn't like the thing if you touched your hair, it was either crispy or you would run your fingers through it and it would be tacky. Whereas mousse, the good thing about it was it disappeared, but you could feel the effects. That was my experience of mousse. Hairspray I found too crispy as well, you know, all that. I mean, obviously brought the chicken skin out beautifully.
I bet like actually the whole hair industry is a bit insane, isn't it, really?
You were right to get out when you did.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the real deal, he said while he shaved his head.
I've come back to take it down.
What do you mean? It's what do you mean? It's insane. The fact that there's so many different prods and people are still.
Yeah, I'm with Tom on this. I do think that there's so many different products and kind of it feels like your hair's your hair a bit. They're like, this will do this to your hair. This will make your hair like this. This will make your hair like that. It's like, nah, your hair's your hair, man.
I think once you find your prod, though, I think once you find the thing that works for you.
But isn't there nature? There's nature's thing. Prod, isn't there? That's the thing.
Right. Yeah. There's also nature's prod, which is that thing.
Which is the real deal. Nature's prod, the real deal.
He's good. He's still got it.
I think I've cracked it. Yeah. There you go.
You've cracked all advertising.
Tom Draper.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was hair gel. Nature's prod, the real deal.
It does do its work. It does do something, you know. What were you? You were a pomade type guy, weren't you? Or a wax guy?
Yeah, I mean,
you, Tom?
Only in later on in my hair career. As an early teen, wet look gel.
16.
Yeah. As a 14-year-old kind of depressingly having to get into hairstyling.
Yeah.
And not really knowing what I was doing, it was wet look gel.
Mm-hmm. What do you have, the kind of French crop? Is that what you had?
Centre-parted curtains.
Oh, yeah. Centre-parted curtains with the forwards, wet look gel, yeah.
Forwards and down.
Yeah.
Same haircut as my sister.
Same haircut as your sister?
Same haircut as my sister, yeah. For about 2 years, we had the same haircut, really, because she was going for like a short bob centre-parted, and I was kind of going for wet look centre-parted down on my forehead.
Yeah.
And did you have an undercut?
Yeah, definitely at times, yeah.
Yeah.
Aspired to have an undercut, as did my sister. We were kind of going for it. And this was when mine and Clarkie's kind of early friendship was forged in the fires of wet look gel, really. That kind of time.
Both forged and extinguished by the wet look gel.
Because we were both grappling with hair that didn't naturally do what we were trying to get it to do in order to kind of fit in with a style that I don't think we really understood.
You just have to keep going with the wet look gel. Like, you just...
Once you're in.
You're slathering it on.
Yeah.
I am in wet look gel, steeped so far that going back would be as sticky as carrying on. McQuiff.
Did you?
Out damn gel.
They used to do, like, in the pound shop, they used to do, like, enormous tubs.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. Like,
yeah. Spearmint green kind of.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
This and horrible jelly.
Also, because it was from the pound shop, it wasn't that effective anyway, so you had to use, like, three times as much.
You may
as well have bought a smaller tub for a sort of slightly more expensive price than buy the absolute bathtub that you used to buy from the pound shop, which I used to as well. Buy the bathtub, you get two great big fistfuls of it, stick it on your hair and just hope for the best. I do know what you mean. Your hair kind of does what it wants to do, basically, doesn't it? Unless you really tame it.
If it rained or you sweat running for the bus or something, then into your eyes or on your collar.
Yeah.
Just the grey drip down the face.
Real grim thing. That's what I'm talking about. It's all just grim, you know.
Or it would dry, when it would dry out, if it was like knocked, it would like turn to dust. So it would become all dusty and flaky as well.
And look like dandruff, yeah. Then some year nine kid's telling you you've got dandruff, and it's like, no, it's wet look gel. And then it's harden like a shell. Like you'd kind of touch the top of your head like that, and it'd feel like you were a fucking shellfish. Really weird.
It would give your head a sort of exoskeleton, wouldn't it?
Really fucking grim stuff. You're sticking these fucking chemicals on your head to try and be accepted at school. it's like just get rid of it, eradicate it all.
Well, you did. You did, mate.
And now you're accepted
in every school.
When I got then obviously went to uni and found Dax, which was
Dax fucking the kind stank of as well, didn't it?
That kind of pomade kind of. Yes. Which was good stuff around the time of Oh Brother Where Art Thou, kind of.
Dapper Dan, of course,
And that was kind of the... That would be like, oh, that would it. Yeah, that, like getting ready for a night out. So you'd put a little bit of Dax on your hair. Cause it was really fucking sticky stuff, that boy. Mm. And expensive as well. Like £3.80 a tin kind of deal.
Yeah,
big time. That would last for ages. I genuinely think I've still got a pot.
Yeah. I bet if you had a whiff of that, you'll be immediately transported back to being 22. Yeah.
I'm just waiting for a bolognese to put it all in.
That's my cooking
Invite
decks.
Crosby round. Do you think anyone's got a hair podcast that's like haircuts that you've had and talking about it?
I mean, it's not a bad idea. Is it too visual a medium? It feels more like a YouTube channel, doesn't it? To be talking through your old haircuts.
It would be audacious if I tried to open a YouTube channel.
Well, that's it. You know, like when you see, have you ever had your hair cut by a bald person? I know that's not
great question.
It's a bit like the best footballers don't necessarily make the best coaches. You know, you don't necessarily have to have a good haircut to be a good hairdresser, but it's reassuring, isn't it?
So it's a YouTube channel where I cut a minor celebrity's hair and ask them about their old haircuts. But the YouTube channel's called Chicken and Cheese.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a good plan. YouTube.com/chicken and cheese, and it's you, an amateur hairdresser who's got a tremendous amount of enthusiasm, cutting the hair of a variety of. I think it wants to be, you know, you want to shoot for the moon. You want to go for your Amanda Holdens, those kind of, you know, big top brass celebs.
Shoot for the moon, is it?
Yeah. You want to get your top flight entertainers is what you
want.
The good
thing about Amanda is she hasn't got a woke hair on her head. And I really love that about her. She won't have when I'm finished with her anyway. She wants some chicken and cheese.
Yeah, keep talking.
Are you going to...
Just eating off a cocktail stick. It's a weird combination, isn't it? Do you... When you get your hair cut these days, are you boys into the kind of establishments where you get the, you know, the service? Do you get drinks and shit?
Get a cup of coffee. Don't get an alcoholic drink, although I know there are places that do that. But it's the full, like, they wash your hair, they put you in a massage chair, which I always enjoy.
What?
Yeah. Sit in a massage chair.
You
sit in a massage chair and get your hair washed, yeah. That's the first step of having the haircut.
Holy
I love it.
Holy hell. No,
it's quite an odd one because it's always, you never know whether to be eyes closed or eyes open. Both feel bad.
Oh yeah, totally, totally. Eyes closed feels like you're enjoying it too much.
Way too much, yeah.
But eyes open, you don't want to be looking to make contact.
You're looking straight up.
Really difficult. You just go cross-eyed, don't you? Which is even worse.
Yeah, I close one eye. I close one eye and I stick my tongue out like the emoji.
Choose your emoji and then stick to it.
Well, by the time I come out, it's the big turd with eyes. But yeah. That is actually pretty much the shape of my hair, actually.
That's true.
House meeting. Is having subtitles on a foreign film cheating?
House meeting.
Do you have a usual at the hairdressers? Do they slide the scissors down the bar? When you arrive now, do they know, oh, Mr. Crosby's here, give him the usual massage?
I go to the same guy, yeah. It's a different person doing the massage chair and wash.
Yeah, because they quit immediately afterwards every time with you, don't they?
I'm not doing him again.
I also have to throw out that massage chair.
New massage chair every time. They set fire to it after every time he leaves. So does your hairdresser know you well? Is it like a case of you're going into spring, so he arrives and it's like a bit more off the top than usual, Mr. Crosby?
Yeah, I do have that relationship with Jackson. Yeah. That's
cool. He's called Jackson.
Yeah, I like it. It's good. I like it. He does a decent job. I don't go as often as I should because, you know, I'm quite happy having very long hair, so I don't really go as often as I probably should do. But yeah, it's good. It's a good thing.
I'm living vicariously through you in this.
So I guess I do. I guess I do have the usual, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's the same. I have the same, pretty much the same haircut every time. Just goes from short to long.
Yeah. So follow up question: does Jackson listen? Is he a listener, dear? Does he listen to the radio show? Does he know of your work?
I don't really talk about that sort of thing. I keep those things separate, I think.
Yeah, because it can get awkward in the chair, can't it? So what does he think you do?
He thinks I'm a writer, which is true. Yeah. So But no, I keep those two parts of my I don't think there's I think it's quite a good way to operate on any of these things is to treat them as if nobody that you know personally listens to them. Do you know what I mean? Podcasts, yeah. The radio, any of that kind of thing. I think it's better just to kind of go, let's just start talking. Otherwise, you end up second guessing yourself, or, you know, it's going, oh, I won't say that just in case that person hears or this person hears. And you know what? It stood me in pretty good stead, because I've never, ever had a person who I know personally, with the exception of my brother Luke Crosby, mention anything that's ever happened on one of the podcasts. I think it's fair to say people who know me personally have no interest in hearing any more of me.
I've just
get enough in day-to-day life.
I've just been reminded of a story, and I imagine I have told this on the pod before. But do you remember when my dad went for a haircut in Wolverhampton and got chatting to the barber about his family, and he mentioned that his son does comedy?
Yeah.
So he said, my son does comedy. And the barber said, oh, I've just been to Edinburgh to the festival. I saw two shows. And it seemed
you saw
like...
You saw Jimmy Carr.
That's right. I saw Jimmy Carr, who obviously was brilliant. And then I saw a really weird show that I just thought was awful. But then that's the fringe, I guess. You get to see all kinds of shows. What was his name? And it was Matthew Crosby.
Yeah. Yeah. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. He got up to the fringe. He'd seen two things.
He'd seen the big two.
And also, it wasn't even that he didn't remember my name. He said, oh, he just talked about Nando's for the entire time.
That's right, yeah.
And your dad went, oh, is that Matthew Crosby? And that's it. Oh, awful. Terrible.
What are the chances of that happening?
Yeah, pretty
stunning.
What are the chances of your dad thoroughly agreeing with him? that was the worst bit.
The only problem he had is that Nando's don't put cheese on their chicken. That was the
issue. I was so close. I did a whole show about Nando's, and I left out the crucial ingredient.
That's it.
You didn't call it chicken and cheese.
Didn't call it chicken and cheese 2011.
Clarkie, what's your hair cutting experience these days?
Slightly more no frills. No washing of the hair.
No washing,
which I always think is quite it's quite a bold choice. So I mean, I make the effort to wash before I go, but I prefer that. I find all of it quite awkward.
Yeah,
in a barber.
Keeps the price down as well, I imagine.
Yeah, it's very very reasonable where I go, but still, I'd say it's kind of like in the mid. It's in the mid range. It's not like super cheap either, and they. I think they're great.
You think they're great?
Yeah, I think they're great.
Okay, interesting. Do you have the usual? Do they know you?
I tell you what, last time I went in, the guy, I capitulated slightly, and he just told me what I was going to have, and I was like, yeah, ooh. Okay.
Wow. Whoa. He's your stylist.
Yeah, he was just like, how about...
this is the look you need.
Yeah, he was just like, this, and I went, yep. Yeah.
And he did that to your head.
It looks good.
No, it does, yeah.
It's amazing.
I mean, it wasn't far I'd love off that. What I normally have. Yeah, that's kind of what I need, because I
love that.
Every single time. Like,
I'd love that.
I'd bloody love that. I'd love someone saying, just wear that today, or you're going to look like this. This is going to be your style, and it works.
Side parting, yeah, yeah.
Totally.
I'd just be like, yes, bloody please.
I just remembered as well, when we were about to do our first TV pilot for Channel 4, the Pappy's Fun Club pilot, I needed a haircut before it, but we just didn't have, like, we had so little money, I didn't have any money, so I went to the cheapest place. I went to a branch of Supercuts, and I think it was like £7 to have your haircut, yeah. Supercuts.
Yeah.
And it was in like a shopping centre, it was just like, oh, it was bad. And like I knew I'd made a mistake when they got out. And this is how they cut my hair. They didn't use a pair of scissors at all. They got a razor blade on a stick.
What?
Like you would get in prison.
Prison style.
Prison style, exactly. They shivved my hair. And they just
always thought
my hair.
That was the fancy way to do it. When they bring out the razor blade, it's like, hello.
Yeah, but maybe a bit, but not the whole
not
thing.
Not the whole thing, to be fair, yeah.
They also washed you with a sponge on a stick, didn't they?
They turned the hose on me, the riot hose.
Do you think this is why we didn't get picked up for the series? Because hair was so bad.
I had a fucking Shawshank haircut before. They de-loused me as well. Is that a normal process? De-lousing?
That was just what Channel 4 did. That was part of it. Just letting us into the studio. My lowest ebb with a... I can still remember I was doing a show in a TV studio and the makeup artist asked me if I wanted my bald spot to be dusted. She said, do you want me to salt and pepper your... You know, I could give it a bit of that. And she had like this shaker and she was like, I shake it over and just to take the edge off your bald spot. That's when I realised.
They have like basically grains of fake hair in a can that they can shake over your head like a kind of like salt and pepper.
Yeah. And then it takes the edge off the spot. And you don't want to be getting that kind of realisation just before you're going on screen.
Yeah, the sweat starts immediately.
I imagine if I watch that back, it's just the glazed expressions of a man who knows that he's entered the autumn of his years. And that kind of took the edge off my performance, I think, somewhat.
Yeah. Was that, what was it called?
It was called Fast and Loose. It was
Fast and Loose, that was it, yeah.
An impro show.
Of course. Fast and Loose, what a show.
I didn't feel very fast and loose after that. Old and tired.
Fast and Loose Skinned is what they renamed it when they saw you.
I wasn't yes-anding anyone. I was perhaps after a lie-down in people. Oh, dear. But... yeah, well, now I can just live vicariously through, you know, you guys are living the dream in some ways. You've got where we started, you've got a usual, you've got a local with the usual, you know, but it's in a hairdresser's.
It's just not beer, it's hair.
And I'm my own local now. It's a depressing statement. I go to the bathroom and give myself the usual.
Come on, you know.
Come on.
One off the top.
Short back and sides.
House meeting.
I've said it once before, but it bears a repeat.
House meeting.
Well, there it is.
There it is now.
We know.
Now we know the answer, Clarky. We know what it's all about.
Yeah.
And of course, so do you guys. Yeah, very, very enjoyable it was too. I mean, we didn't listen to it.
We're recording
this straight away after we recorded the intro. We got no idea. And I mean, who knows? Maybe I'll never listen to it.
I mean, there's a very good chance as far as I'm concerned.
I've got a life, man. I've got stuff to get on with. I've got to record more of these.
I do wonder if maybe... and this has only just occurred to me. Maybe when I'm like old in the tooth, I'll go back then and listen back as a little time capsule.
Clarky, I've seen your teeth, mate.
Today's the day. Already old in the
tooth. When I'm old in the tooth, I'm bleeding in the gums. When I'm bad of the breath, then I'll go back. No, I know what you mean. Do you think that's something you'll do? Is you'll go back through them like your old memoirs?
Yeah, I think I might do. I mean, the problem is at this stage, I don't enjoy listening to myself one bit. But I think
the feeling's mutual, mate. Which is lucky because I just don't really let you speak.
You do it for a reason, for your benefit and for mine. It turns out. But I think when I grow up, I'll probably be like, oh, yeah.
Did you say when I grow up?
When I grow up, yeah.
Lucky, mate. You're 42, aren't you?
I'm 41, mate. I'm sorry.
In which case, I stand corrected. I had you pegged as a 42-year-old man, but of course you're a 41-year-old boy.
I'm basically a teenager, yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, Clarky's got to go because he's got to meet his mates on his razor scooter. So we better let him get off. He's got a new fidget spinner he wants to show them, and that Tamagotchi will not feed itself. So thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, I've bought some Tamagotchi food online. So
I've got, you've got it. That's the only way to feed them. Only way to feed them. Right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will we'll see you next week for another fantastic episode of Pappy's Flat Share. In the meantime, take care of yourselves. This episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Cheers, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. Clarky food.